This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Good morning, guys.
Morning, fellas. How are we?
I'm doing good.
It's always fun watching Dave put his headphones on, isn't it?
Like watching, well, like right. Watching a monkey with a Rubik's Cube.
Exactly.
And trying to get a banana through the gate through the bars the wrong direction.
Good morning. He was sitting here with his mask on, though, like 4 seconds before we started.
Well, I put it on right as we were coming on. I don't know why.
I know. But it was funny trying to watch as you tried to take it off with your headphones still on.
And then my glasses. It was a mess.
Yeah, it was a mess.
But good morning.
It makes me feel better about myself.
Well, you know, how many times have you gotten out of the car to go into
Twice.
A store and then realized, oh, I don't have my mask, and go back to the car to get the mask? Well, we were getting ready to start, so I have to have my mask on before we start.
Yep.
But I don't, because we have so much space in the spacious studios here at KCBQ and K-Praise that we can be 16 feet apart.
And
don't need my mask.
Yeah. Well, you know, the my neck gaiter has become like the new ascot. I just wear it all the time.
That's exactly what I do.
You just get up in the morning and put it on, and
I don't even take it off at night.
No. Well, yeah. Just sleep with it.
Yeah. Never mind. I was going to go down a different road, but yes.
Me too. But I was going to, you know, when I'm calling you, it was just talking about your ascot. That's it. I wasn't saying anything else, I swear. So good morning.
Good morning.
We had a little rain on the way in this morning.
Yeah,
it is about time.
Well, you know, it was funny because we went down to Point Loma last night. And I thought it was going to be raining last night. It didn't rain at all.
No, it didn't rain at all.
It was raining in Poway last night, though, briefly.
That's what you were saying. Yeah. And then got home, still no rain. Walked out of the house this morning, and it was pretty dry at my house. But then I stopped at the Jack in the Box to get a drink on the way into the studio, and it was pouring. And it poured all the way down Miramar Road, actually to about the 805, and it stopped raining about 8:05.
Well, when I left this morning, it was mostly clear. There was a little bit of clouds out in East County, but there were stars everywhere.
There was a little bit of clouds, but other than that, it was really clear.
Dry all the way in until I hit the 163 805, and then it started pouring. And I had to turn my windshield wipers up to number 2, the highest thing, and slow down. I had to slow down below the speed limit.
That's how bad.
That's how.
Treacherous
it was out there. Thank you, George.
Wow. Those downpours.
So,
I put out fertilizer last night.
You're a better man than I am. Well, I didn't do that.
Just a little bit in my little raised bag.
I was going to ask.
And so I put it out and checked it this morning, and it was still fairly dry. It had a little moisture on it, but hopefully that downpour at the 163-805 makes it over my beets and carrots and waters.
Well, it's supposed to rain through the weekend, so hopefully you'll get enough to wash it in. We did the same thing. We put some out in preparation.
You know what kind of fertilizer I put out?
Grow Power.
I put out, no.
Ooh.
What's the only other fertilizer that would be more important to me than Grow Power?
Dr. Earth.
No, Free.
Oh, Free.
I put out some free pansy food.
Ah. Oh, the Dr. Earth?
The Dr. Earth.
Yes.
I used some of that to plant with.
Okay. Good stuff.
Well, it's funny because it says pansy food, people
use it.
Yeah. Right. It's like, well, I don't have pansies. Well, I mean, look at the numbers are almost the same as everything else Dr. Earth makes.
But. And as long as they don't show the bag to the plants.
Correct.
They're not going to know. The plants are going to think it's vegetable food.
Correct.
And that's what I use it for. We put a bunch of vegetables in last weekend with that.
I did it last night when it was dark and the plants couldn't see the label. So I didn't even have to hide it.
You didn't have to. I was very, very. Kept it behind my back. I didn't want them to be able to see.
That's Bandini's fault, or genius. That was Bandini's genius.
Marketing people, but whoever they were.
As long as the nutrients are there, it really doesn't matter what it says on the outside. And as long as you're not using a systemic or something like that, one with the fertilizers, but the rest of them.
It's nuanced. I mean, there are some benefits to having a higher nitrogen for, citrus or something, but you're right. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah. The best fertilizer is the one that you use.
Exactly. The one I don't leave in the garage.
The one you don't leave in the garage. Yeah. It can, it doesn't do much sitting in there.
Since I brought it up prematurely, you don't want to talk about why it was free fertilizer?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well,
yeah.
I was going to let you do that.
I don't know why it's free.
No. What is free about it today at Walter Anderson Nursery?
Let me. Is today the 7th?
Yes.
Wow. Oh. So it's you get a
I didn't know it was the 7th either. It's been a long
week. It's been a long week.
It's been a month.
It's been a long year.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's still Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's you can get a free 1 pound bag of fertilizer starting today in both stores. You can get a free 1 pound bag of Dr. Earth pansy food with a purchase. Is it a
$30 minimum purchase?
$30 minimum purchase
while supplies last. Ooh, and your vegetables would be very happy with it.
And so would your pansies.
Yes, they would.
Because now it is pansy season.
It is. Okay,
yes.
Well, we'll just segue right down the road.
It's cool.
Go.
It's cool season bedding. Cool season bedding time.
Oh, good. It was just a sneeze. I thought he was having a seizure.
No, I'm fine.
We're good?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Good thing you have 16 feet between us. Yeah. Yeah.
So, now's the time to switch out all your bedding from, if you have anything left over from the summer.
The most professional hour in radio.
Yeah. Pansies, violas. Stocks, snapdragons,
primrose.
The primulas and the English primrose.
I love stock. I love the scent of those flowers.
It's weird.
Yeah,
I don't dislike it, but correct. It's weird.
It smells like dirt. Oh. It smells like dirt.
I love that. They are fragrant.
Yeah. No, I'm okay. It's kind of a spicy.
It is. It's like clovish or something. Yeah.
I don't dislike it. It's just.
But I don't like it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
It's okay.
So pansies are Ken's, beets in the flower world, I guess.
No, the stocks.
I meant stocks. Yeah, stocks.
Nah. No, they're a little above beets.
Apparently.
I'm better with stocks than I am with beets. Let me just put it that way. But, and then snapdragons. And who doesn't love to pull a snapdragon off and sit there and pinch it and.
It shows my maturity level.
Exactly.
I'm a snapdragon.
Have a snapdragon war. One in each hand.
There's a visual.
Yeah. Let's watch them eat each other.
We could do puppets.
Yes.
Just have little conversations with ourselves.
Snapdragons get rust pretty easily.
Yes, they do.
They're challenging for that.
Yes, well, they do.
Have any of you tried them with the systemic rose disease control? Just planting them with the disease control to protect
them? I haven't, because I typically plant them near stuff that's edible.
Well, that would be a problem now, wouldn't it?
That would be problematic, yes.
Yeah, I think you might want to move them to their own. We'll have to try that. Yeah. We can do them in a grow bag at the nursery and have a test.
And see if it
see if the systemic helps.
Yeah, because that would be good. I love snapdragons, but I hate rust, and I have all the products to take care of the rust, but there's one more step.
Yeah, as I understand it, it has to be applied to the plant.
It doesn't have to
sit in the shed or the garage or the trunk of the car.
Immunox
to bring in
is a great fungicide for roses and for snapdragons, but I never take the time to do it. I always miss that last little bit.
That last part, the actual application of it.
I purchase it. I show it to the plants just so they know.
Tease them a little bit, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you. The seed potatoes are in. Actually, I should just say the potatoes are in.
Yeah.
Because these are the biggest seed potatoes I've ever seen.
Correct.
They're pretty much just full-size potatoes.
I went into the nursery yesterday just
I was going to
print something and walked by, and I'm like, oh, look at all these potatoes. They were huge.
You can wash them in a restaurant. Yeah, you could wash that and throw it in the microwave and have some lunch.
I'm betting he did, but, You or
could,
would have.
You could get one of those at Larson's Steakhouse for $16.
Then it'll be washed and prepared for you.
Yes.
With nice accoutrement.
But we got it. There's a ton of
15 varieties.
15 varieties.
15 varieties. Some of the most gorgeous potatoes you will ever see. And I'm kind of excited about it.
Are you going to cut them up or are you going to plant them as is?
I'm going to probably do both.
I think it's going to depend because some of them are smaller.
Yeah.
It depends on the variety.
I am was a non-believer in cutting up because I was always afraid they'd rot.
Rot, yeah.
But all that has to, as long as you have an eye there, the rest can rot away because the eye is going to start growing immediately. So I think I'm going to let them sit for a little bit to push out the eyes a little bit.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I have some sulfur at home so I can dust them. I think I have some Captan too if I want to go crazy with it.
I usually cut them and just let them dry for a day or two.
Is that what you do? Yeah. I don't know. It's something for me to consider over the weekend. I'll take it under advisement and work on it. But they are gorgeous. There's reds. Many. I think we have 3 or 4 varieties of reds, and some of them are beautiful and yellow on the inside. So red skin, yellow.
Yeah, there's that one purple one that
Viking, I think, or is it the other?
Oh, I can't remember.
There was Viking purple is in there, and there's another.
Or is it Huckle? Is it Huckleberry Gold? That it's got a. There's one that's got a purple skin, but it's
gold on the inside.
It's gold inside.
It might be that. Yeah. And we have Yukon Gold and Yukon Gem.
Yukon Gold, Yukon Gem, Russian banana.
Yeah, the Russian banana is a skinny one. It's pretty interesting looking.
I don't know. I'm pretty excited about it. And they came all the way from Montana. That's all I have all I have to say about that. Montana. They look gorgeous. They're ready to go. They are bothered by frost. So if you live in an area with frost, put them in a raised bed or a grow pot so that you can protect them. I think I'm going to put mine in a grow bag this year because when I plant them this time of the year, they grow great. And then the frost wipes out the tops,
right.
And I never cover them. I say I will.
You probably have frost cloth at home as well.
You know, I don't, but I have hoops. I have big cylinders of chicken wire that I could just drape a sheet over very easily. But I don't. You know, it's just that last step.
Got all those good intentions, right? The road.
Yeah, that's what Mama says. Paved the road to hell is paved with good intention.
It's like my sister-in-law says that my brother-in-law's they own an air conditioning company back in Florida. And he's really good as far as household projects and things like that. But he's a 95%er. It's about 95% done and then moves on to the next thing. Yeah. So.
Well, I wish I could be that much.
Yeah.
How's the flooring coming?
Oh, it's almost done.
Way
almost
to go.
Done. We're done today. Yeah, that's a life changer.
Some people employ other people to do that, just for the record, next time.
I've employed people to put it in.
Okay.
I just weren't
smart enough to have them take it out.
Destruction. Yeah, gotcha. I'm not.
Well, you use the destruction part to get all your frustration out.
Yeah, I actually ended up hurting after that.
And he's still frustrated, so, you know.
Didn't work.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number you're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We've got about another minute before we need to take a break. But the seed potatoes are in. We don't have a huge amount of – we have a lot of varieties, but we don't have a huge quantity of them. So if you want to try growing potatoes,
get them early.
Get in there and get them early.
Yeah.
Even if you're not going to plant right away, if you know you want them, get them, because when they're gone, they're gone, and we won't have more until probably early to mid January.
And those are going to be the ones, the packaged ones.
And they won't be near as many.
Correct. Or as big
varieties,
probably,
right?
Yeah.
Now you and I both planted some this past spring with great success.
Great success.
Potatoes are easy.
I tried something new this year. Well, I tried something new. I planted potatoes many years ago and failed. But this year, well, to hear how I succeeded, you're going to have to.
You're going to have to wait. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but it's all right now.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. And it's potato story time.
It's a great story. You're just going to be so excited. So the first time I did potatoes, I got a big 25-gallon plastic tub, and I put some soil in it. I put the potatoes, and as they were growing, I put stuff on top. But they were kind of over in an area where they were kind of in the shade. And so they started growing really well, and then all of a sudden they just started rotting. The whole thing just collapsed, and I failed miserably. And then I gave up for probably 10-plus years. And then this year, it was this year, wasn't it?
It was.
It seems like spring. So long ago. George and I split a bag of mixed colored potatoes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I planted two blue and two red. And I started them in a pit in the ground out in the yard, and added a ton of compost. And then as they grew, I just kept throwing a little more composty soil over the top. And I would say it was less than 3 months later, I harvested. And I got dozens and dozens of red, smaller potatoes from my two red seed potatoes. And I got, I don't know, probably 10 enormous blue potatoes from my two seed blue seed potatoes. But they were full size. They were this big, everybody. They were this big. But the size of an extra large baking potato. But the blues, I got many fewer, but larger. And I was very excited about it because it was really easy.
Did you even, did you feed them at all, or just with the, just
no.
Hey, that's the thing is, I mean, I've done them and I've had good size, but I don't do anything to them.
I probably threw a handful of fertilizer initially in the soil when I planted them.
I know I didn't.
Yeah, we did when we planted ours.
That.
Yeah,
nothing
some
after
of the
that.
Soil. I mean, the soil that I used was the sunshine. It has some fertilizer in it, but I didn't put anything on it after the fact.
I am so much better with things in the ground because I don't remember to water. But I've been much better this year. I don't put it off until, when I get home from work. Do it before I go, so they're still alive when I get home from work, and it's made a big difference.
Well, that whole COVID thing, you know, you have to stay at home anyway, so you're probably out there a little bit more.
Yeah, except
probably.
For, yeah, okay, I'll go with that.
So why why did your first attempt collapse?
Well,
stayed too wet?
I think I kept it too wet. The plastic doesn't breathe,
no, that's
so
true.
Their
shady
grow spot. Bag would be better. The shade of the other trees around it, I think, compounded the problem. But this was out in the ground in the full sun, and the soil there is fairly loose, and I added a bunch more compost slowly.
I know Kathleen always, or she grows potatoes, and I know people complain about San Diego soil's too compact and it's hard to grow. But you remember, like I said, Mrs. Carden, she had a hillside of potatoes. I mean, she planted them, I don't know how many times, but how many years, but she used to harvest, I mean, they've been there for years and years and years. They just grew like weeds.
It just takes some effort in the beginning. If you amend significantly and always add compost and keep adding good organic material, you will have a good, healthy vegetable or, you know, flower bed that you can work and till all the time.
I was talking to JD. We were looking for the grow bags that the bottom drops out of.
Yeah.
And I wanted it for potatoes. And he didn't have them, and we were talking about it, and he goes, David, the bags are small, they're light, you can just flip it over. Yeah, you really don't, unless it's something enormous or super heavy, you don't need
a
bottom.
I did them in a big trash can.
We had we had potato grow bags.
We did.
Yeah, we did.
A couple of years ago.
It had the panel on the side.
Yeah, and that's just as... Yeah, you could reach in, and I did.
It's gimmicky. Yeah,
it's gimmicky.
Good for late night television.
Yeah,
but
as seen on TV.
Yes, and didn't we do it once at the nursery with tires? And you know, if you have a bunch of old tires on your property, you start with one tire and you plant it in the bottom one.
I don't remember that at
and
all.
And as they grow, you just put another tire on it, put soil around it, and just layer it up by tire by tire.
Aren't you concerned with any kind of chemical leaching into your potato using tires, just out of curiosity?
No, I would not be.
Really?
Yeah.
I, on the other hand, would be.
Would you?
Yeah.
My sisters would be. My mom would be. Yeah. I wouldn't be.
Okay.
Okay. Is that all you're going to say about that?
Well, no, there's going to be some science. We're going to look into this.
Okay, you look into it, see what leaches out of the tires.
Yeah.
Then we're gonna talk about Ray's bet. Well, we won't. Yeah, no, I'm not going down.
You're
that
not
path
playing with me.
No,
okay.
I'm not. I am not going to engage. Let's move along, Douglas, quickly.
Well, one of the key things though for growing potatoes is you've got to have loose soil,
because right.
if it's heavy, even if it's not compacted, but if it's just heavy soil, you're not going to get as good a production out of it.
I concur.
Another funny potato story, since we're
another one. Thank you for giving.
David and I were talking to Gretchen yesterday, our new office manager in Conway, and her sister grew potatoes a couple of years ago, I guess it was, and as the plant started coming up out of the ground, she has a chicken, and the chicken would go over and start pecking until it.
Found the potato.
Until it found the potato. So she didn't get any potatoes because the chicken ate them all.
Well, I'd be eating chicken.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you.
If you have any potato stories out there, I know ours have been riveting, but if you have any that you'd like to share, please give us a call.
When we were talking about the cool season bedding, one of the other things that comes up, although I don't think it's as popular as it used to be, ornamental kale.
I love ornamental kale. It's gorgeous.
It's really pretty.
Some of the colors are intense. Yeah.
And we, excuse me, we do have it in stock right now, but I remember we used to get tons of it.
Yeah.
And now we have a small section of it.
Right. It's not as popular as it
used to be. It does look like most of the growers have shifted a little bit of their production from ornamental to edibles, because nobody's able to keep up with the vegetables. We're still running out of things on a regular basis. And so some of the bedding plants that we get regularly are in much shorter supply because the production has shifted and people are selling as many vegetables as they can get in.
Yeah. And you know, you're talking about edible kale, it's unbelievable how many varieties of edible kale are out there now. At least what we have in stock. Usually several different varieties at any given time.
Yeah. I'm smiling at you because I'm thinking about edible kale and I'm thinking about the way you react to beets, and I just don't get kale. I don't get
it. I love kale.
I like kale as well.
Sauteed kale with garlic is
Melanie makes it. She makes kind of a creamy, garlicky dressing for it, and a kale salad. Oh, it's
excuse me, gentlemen, but if you put enough cheesy, creamy, garlicky, buttery,
it's
whatever
just
on
the vehicle
anything
that gets to your mouth,
except
the
beets,
it's gonna be good. Yes, except beets, it'll be good.
Well, we make it in a smoothie as well.
That's where I was headed.
Those are pretty good, actually.
How much ice cream?
No ice cream.
Sorry.
Oh my gosh, you guys. I don't know what's wrong with you.
What?
I don't know.
When I lived in Japan, ornamental kale and ornamental cabbage was very popular for late autumn plantings everywhere.
Well, the names of many of those specialty varieties of ornamental kale are Japanese names, and I don't remember them off the top of my head, but they are different varieties. And the purple with the white center, the striking contrast for borders and things.
Yeah, that's what they're using
for.
They're
gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
Thanks for getting us off kale. However, if you want to grow kale for your smoothies or for your creamy, garlicky...
something or other.
Salad.
Yes, salad. Thank you. You plant them and harvest them all season plus long. If you don't chop the heads off, you were going to talk about that. If you don't chop the tops off, you can just harvest the outside leaves. And a friend of mine in Rancho Santa Fe has about 2-foot-tall kale now with just, it looks like a little
tree
dusting brush. Yeah, a little tree, just a few leaves at the top and a nice stem up until there. But she's been harvesting. Those were planted, I think, in February. No, it must have been March, at the beginning of COVID. And they're still alive and producing and doing well.
Yeah, and that's true with pretty much all of the leaf vegetables. If you don't cut the entire head off of it, even like romaine, if you're just your average family of four or five, and you have a few heads of romaine lettuce growing, as it matures, all you have to do is just go and pull off what you need for one serving, for one salad, and leave it there, and it'll keep on growing. And that's pretty much true. I don't think you can do that with iceberg lettuce, but
and unless Gretchen's chickens get to them, you know, that'll put a damper in them pretty quickly.
That will do it, or the finches.
You know, I got a call from a friend of ours who has a irrigation company up in the in multiple areas around town,
mm-hmm.
and he was looking for vegetables because he ran out of them and the suppliers are running low on them. We still have a pretty good variety available. But shop early for best selection, because they do come and go very quickly. And it's really neat to see people finally getting back into gardening.
Yeah.
It's too bad this is what it took, in a
big way. And it's not just annual vegetables. It's fruit trees, and we can't keep any of that stuff in stock. The size of 5 gallon avocados that we've been getting in is well
rooted but small.
They're rooted, but they're small.
But we finally have a decent selection for the first time in 6 months.
Yeah.
So
right.
They got wiped out. I mean, everybody did, and all kinds of. It wasn't just toilet paper.
I heard they're starting to limit the purchases of toilet paper and paper towels.
It's hit or miss in Poway from watching the information exchange at the Costco. It's people are posting they've got it in, or it's all gone, or it's crazy.
You know, I've never had a problem. I've always had plenty. But I guess if you're one person and you're buying at Costco, it lasts a long time, doesn't it?
Well, you still have a newspaper subscription too.
Exactly. No, I don't. I don't.
You don't.
Yeah, they jacked it up like 1600%, and I said no, thank you.
No,
but I get leftovers. My dad saves me. He's getting 2 Wall Street Journals a day for some reason.
The same issue.
I think he's only paying for one. Yeah, and so I get his leftovers.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a break, and we're going to be back and talk to Linda and Vince on the phones when we come back. So stay tuned.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. One recognized me, I didn't look the same, but it's all right now.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We are going to go to the phones. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to head over to Tierra Santa where Linda is waiting. Good morning, Linda. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. I have a question about raccoons. Is there anything we can do to discourage them from eating our avocados and orange trees and the grapes?
We're all looking at each other.
They're difficult.
Because there are things to do.
I don't have a raccoon problem, so I'll leave it up to the people.
Let's talk to George.
Well, I've had a raccoon problem as well eating figs, but according to the state integrated pest management, there's very little we can do other than exclusion, or there's some frightening things, or water sprinklers that go off automatically, things of that sort, a large dog, but their repellents are not effective. They just don't work well.
There are cages you can
trap them in. Yeah.
Humane, it's right. You can trap them.
And then according to the... Well, then what do you do with them, George?
Well, that one I'd have to look up. I've never had to deal with raccoons.
Okay. So. You can...
Is there anyone that comes and collects them? You could pay to cage them?
Probably.
Yeah, I would imagine there are.
One of the pest control companies or Lee out east. You can find Lee and he'll come with a cage and he'll take care of your critters. I'm just making that up.
Okay, well, since we don't have an answer for that, when does your flowering ice plant come in?
That's something we get throughout the year.
Yeah, we stock it throughout the year.
A lot of times it's not in flower, but we always have the plants depending on colors and or whatever it is you're looking for.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Linda.
Thanks for nothing.
Well, no, and Linda does. I just finished reading up on from the California State Integrated Pest Management, and it says many counties have trapping programs for nuisance animals such as raccoons. So, if you contact the local agricultural county ag department, they may have something to help you with.
Well, if they will, since they classify them as nuisance, then the county animal control might come and take them right from you if you trap them as well. So that gives you the avenue. The problem with trapping in the humane traps is what
getting
to do with them.
You're prohibited by law to release them elsewhere once you catch them.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Correct.
Oh. So since they're categorized as nuisance pests, you can probably get the county to come take them away and deal with them for you. So give them a call on Monday, and now you can say thank you for our wonderful help instead of for nothing.
thank you for your wonderful help.
Shamed into it.
Have a good day.
You thanks, too. Linda. You too. If you want to give us a call, 1-888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you. We're going to move
Let's talk to manure.
We're going to move on up to San Marcos, where Vince is waiting. Good morning, Vince. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm really thankful we're finally getting some rain. It's been a long wait. I just wanted to ask you folks if you've ever had any experience with a herbicide carryover in horse manure.
I have not.
No, I have not.
I haven't heard of any.
Correct.
I have not heard of any problems with it.
Okay, well, I'm here in San Marcos, right in the middle of many of the horse ranches, and for many years I've used, horse manure and compost and then used it on my roses and my gardening plants. But about 2 years ago, I ran into a really serious problem where most of my vegetables and also my roses got chlorotic and really started going downhill. So I did a little research on it, and I found out that since 1953, they've known that some of the herbicides will carry over into the forage that the animals eat. So I found out that you actually can get your some states actually recommend extension. People actually recommend that you actually send a sample of your horse manure in and get it tested before you actually use it. And I just want to share that with any gardeners that still have access to a horse manure. It's very plentiful here in San Marcos with all the horse ranches, but it takes about a year or two for it to break down and get depleted out of the soil. And so I don't really use horse manure anymore because I don't want to take a risk with it. It is a wonderful thing when it's working properly, but the problem is people don't always follow the label when they grow crops. They're having an outbreak of insects on their hay field, so they may use herbicide later in the season. And anybody, may have a hard time, figuring out what's going wrong with their garden. If you do everything right, you might think it's a problem with maybe a virus or some other thing. But for me, it was a serious problem. So any of the vegetable growers in this area, I'd tell them that you can send, samples of your compost or your manure in to get it tested before you use it. And I don't know, it may not be too much of a problem because I don't think most people actually make compost like that, but they could. So I just wanted to share that with any of your customers so that we have a happier growing situation. And the other question I have, do you have any corn varieties that you recommend for late season planting here in Southern California? For, you know, ones that actually hold up to the weather as it gets colder?
I don't think we have anything that would be, well, it depends on the weather. And it totally depends on how warm or how cool it stays. If you had planted it 2 months ago coming into fall, it would have been great. But now we're expecting the high 30s and low 40s, I think, early next week. And so it depends on what the weather brings. If it stays warm and dry, sure, the shorter season varieties should be okay. But I wouldn't invest my time in corn right now. There's so many other things that will do well through this season. I'd move on.
What I meant is I realize you got to plant it earlier, you know, like in August and stuff. Yeah, but I'm still wondering. I'm from New York, so I don't really have many years of growing experience here in Southern California. And I just want to get a handle on what might be the better varieties. If anybody knows, I'd appreciate, getting some varietal name that might be a good one to work with. I've had some problem with the Hopi Azul actually not pollinating really well. And I'm thinking, I have another variety called, True Gold. Yeah, that's it. And that one does really well. It pollinates really well and sets a good amount of kernels in the cob. But some of the varieties didn't. So just asking if anybody knows. I'm glad you guys have, a good program on. It really helps a lot of people.
No, thank you very much. We appreciate the call, Vince.
Okay, stay healthy now.
You too. Thanks. Have a great weekend.
So what'd you see in there, George?
So, no, he is right with the herbicides. There are studies, North Carolina State Extension talks about it, that there can be carryover with herbicides. He did mix insecticides with, but herbicides get into the hay or other weed or feed crops, rather, for the animals, and it can be carried over. There are studies, but they say most of it's broken down and gone within 30 days, but when he said a year or so, some of it says it could be at least several years for some of it to break down. I don't know how severe and what the percentages are. But
that's a really good reason then to come in and buy bags of organic matter instead of composting your horse manure. But I guess
I think it's going to depend on where you're getting your horse manure from and what those people use. You know, one of the things he said is people don't read labels. And we often say that, you have to read the label. The label is the law. And it's important to do so.
And he also mentioned insecticides, which are
totally different. Right. That's what I'm saying. He mixed insecticides with herbicides. Right.
I guess then if you are concerned, at the very least, then thin it out. Don't use it in as great of a percentage. Mix it with other things. Blend it to minimize the potential. Or pasteurize your own horses and don't buy feed that may have herbicide in it, and just know the food chain.
Know the chain, yeah. Know your production.
Right? Know your production.
Well, the interesting the question that I have is, if it's herbicide carryover in the food, why are you spraying herbicide on hay or Bermuda grass?
Well, I was thinking that as well, but probably I was thinking, horses aren't going to eat dead grass. You know, if you've gone and done herbicide in the pasture, they're not going to eat that because it's going to be dead. But in a large field alfalfa production, they may spray herbicide,
that's what they're talking about, in pastures
in their bales of hay, not right. in their... I was initially thinking, in the pastures. Well, that didn't make... But they're probably using it in and around growing fields. I guess it could get into it.
And they list a number of herbicides, things that we don't typically use, but and that are registered for pasture and grain crops. And so.
We're all nodding our heads in agreement here. So, yes. Okay. Yeah. Thanks for...
Must be right. 888-344-1170 is the number if you would like to give us a call. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ.
You know, we do the nothing commentary here, and then George fills in with the actual facts. Thank you, George. Yes.
I'm the only one that knows how to read, so.
Well, you got that on us.
I'm trying to, we were going to talk about something when we went into the break, but we took the phone calls when we came back. Oh, tires. You were going to tell us about.
Well, research assistance
not
here.
Not to use on, them.
Not to, well, it there's some interesting things here. So it one of the question is it safe to grow food in tires? And there's some controversy on either side of it. People say, yes, it's safe. Others say no. But the bottom line is it does leach chemicals. It does leach toxic things. And that's why you can't just throw a tire in a field somewhere. Well, you're not supposed to throw a tire in a field somewhere and let it rot because it takes a long time. They said, yes, you probably can do it if you rotate. You don't do this, you know, eat.
If you rotate your tires.
If you rotate your tires or 3,000 miles, whichever comes first. But there are so many safer alternatives. Why would you do it?
I'm okay with that. I just saw it done, and it's, you know, one of those yard hacks or something where you can just take
a host of chemicals and metals that should not be used in human food production.
And I guess we don't hear as much about the, yes, it's safe, because the people that have done it aren't around to advocate their position.
You know, my grandfather was a big fan of doing tires.
He died at 53, but he was
loved it. Did it his whole life.
Okay. I plant in the ground, and you can do grow bags and containers. How's that?
I'm a fan.
Is that okay?
I'm a fan.
There we go. All right. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but it's all right now.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. I guess it was yesterday they brought in the citrus that had the day before, huge scale infestation.
I've never seen so much.
It was
mealybugs.
Mealybugs. Right. It was gross. There was just so much on it.
Farming ain't always beautiful.
Yeah. But what the clump, it was three lemons that I brought in, and they were just completely coated with mealybugs and crawlers.
Where they touched together, right? I mean,
yeah,
mostly
right,
where
yeah,
they were.
Right.
Where
exactly.
The fruit hangs together.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we put it under the microscope and we were looking at it, and there was actually, the predatory mealybug.
The mealybug destroyer lady beetle.
Yeah. And it
which
was,
looks like an alien from some sci-fi from the 50s.
Sounds like that should be followed by De La Madrid or something. That's a long name.
You're right.
But it was mowing.
It was chowing down.
It was insane.
Was it like Mark at a buffet in Las Vegas?
It was pretty
not quite like that. I think it wasn't quite as hungry.
But close.
But it was wild. It was just going to town on
that's,
the on
that's
the,
fantastic. On so the, what does it look crop. Like? How do you differentiate that from the bad mealybug?
They're bigger.
It's much bigger. Yeah. It has all these, as I'm showing everyone in the studio, it has these arms, looks like arms off to the side. You know what a ladybug larva looks like, right?
Yes.
Picture that covered in whiteness like cotton. And then legs out to the side of
you know,
it.
I'll
post a photo. I took a couple of photos. I'm just trying to enhance them a little bit so we can see them.
No. I just got a picture in my mind of the little pill bugs from A Bug's Life. When they stand up and you're looking at them from the...
Underneath
with their legs out. It's kind of... I know I'm stretching it a little bit.
Not really. I mean...
If you took that and flocked it.
There you go. If you flocked it for Christmas. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It was...
But they turn into a beetle. A ladybug... Like a lady beetle, much like a ladybug, just different colorings.
Yeah, it was amazing to watch. Unfortunately, the infestation of the bad mealybugs and
was so
scale
bad.
Was so bad that there's no way that they're ever,
this
that
one,
they're
this
ever
one gonna, is never going to win that battle.
Is never going to. It's. It'll be fat, dumb, and stupid. But
it'll get its wings and become a beetle long before it finished eating.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it was. There were a lot of mealybugs on that.
Yeah, it was.
Just tons.
Is that the one? If you were to squeeze that mealybug, would it be purple?
No. That's cochineal.
Okay.
And that's actually
a scale.
It's a scale, yeah. and it's on Opuntia cactus.
Opuntia cactus. Yes. Yeah. And it's used to make carmine, carmine that you'll find in yogurt and other edible products. So
in New York City?
Yes.
That carmine?
So when you're looking
carmine at Carmine San Diego.
When you're looking at the ingredients on your food labels and you see carmine, you're
eating bug juice. You know, George made a point of letting me know that was scale about 2 or 3 weeks ago. It looks like mealybug. It's cottony like mealybug, but it's a scale.
You learn something every day. Otherwise, yes, you're dead.
That's right.
Otherwise, but you ate stuff out of tires and you die.
Told me that. I remember because years ago, Ray Landon was the one that was teaching me, somebody brought it in and it was scale. For some reason, I always thought it was mealybug, I remember that now.
If it looks like a mealybug and it crawls like a mealybug, but it squishes like a scale, it's not a mealybug. Is that right?
Well, if you squish it and it turns red.
Right.
Okay. Then. And that's on the flat paddle cactus.
Yeah. Nopalis. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's pretty.
It's a beautiful color.
It's pretty common. And yeah. They would make dye out of it.
Correct.
Too,
right.
For like fabric and things like that.
You know, I was thinking we could start a false rumor about it being used in other things. Nah, we don't need to.
It's
start
in a lot of stuff
rumor.
To begin with. You don't have to do any rumors.
I don't have to do it. I was thinking
especially false ones.
Okay, I won't start.
I think the most common place that I've seen it on ingredient lists is red grapefruit juice.
Do they add color to it with that?
They add.
Are you kidding?
I have seen that they have added color to it. Yeah.
Oh.
And it's, yeah. So wow. you can
San Diego.
You can have that in your screwdriver.
Great. Well, I was going to say grenadine, but you know, okay. I was going that way. Yeah. I don't think they use it in that anymore. So just double check your labels and make sure it's okay. Because I don't want the sales of pink grapefruit juice products in San Diego to plummet because of this.
Yeah. It's a.
What is that going to do to vegans?
That's a great point.
There you go. Well, you know, that's the other thing. The other vegan.
Oh, don't go to figs. Don't go to figs. Don't go to figs.
Figs. It's
don't do it.
It's a,
don't do it.
It's a controversy.
It's a controversy.
It's a tough one.
You know, it looked like a bug had been through it, but I got a watermelon yesterday that had a hole in it on the bottom, and it was. It looked like a fine watermelon, but I cut into it, and it was just all mush on it. Oh, it was disgusting. And it stunk, too. It was awful.
Really?
Yes. But I gave it to the chickens this morning, so we'll see. When I get it was dark. They were still sleeping, but I put it in their chicken coop this morning so that they usually will eat the watermelon and watermelon rinds, what was left of it. But the whole center was hollowed out. And I took a... This is a good mental picture for everybody getting up ready for breakfast as I took a handful of goop and I threw it into my have a heart trap to see if I could catch a rabbit because I was too lazy to put some greens in it. And so this morning when I went out, I set the have a heart with some watermelon gook. Glup.
So as discussed earlier about not being able to release that.
No, don't even go there. Don't ask. Don't ask. I have a don't ask, don't tell rabbit policy.
Are you having a problem with rabbits?
Yes. I have a limited pea, it's not a pea germination problem. The peas germinated just fine, but the rabbits mowed them down.
Oh.
So, as...
why don't you fence them off?
Well, that is what the chicken wire was for that is now cylinders. I fenced off my squash for the summer to get them going, and then they don't touch them. But I don't like doing it. It looks stupid, and I just don't like doing it. And, you know, my yard is just so immaculate.
I was going to say.
I've been known to have the garden that's cross between the Garden of Eden and Detroit. So I'm curious. Yeah. I'm curious what yours is.
But you won't plant in tires. Huh?
I won't plant in tires.
You absolutely go to Detroit.
I will not plant in tires.
I did it last year just for this reason, and I let the rabbits be. But I don't want to let the rabbits be, so I'm not going to.
So you're going to move them out?
Yeah. Probably to the National Wildlife Refuge.
Is that what you call it?
Well, that's what the sign says on it. I don't just, well, that's where I let the rattlesnake go. But we have people that come in and say these seeds didn't sprout. And usually it's not a sprouting issue. It's,
right.
It's something got to them before exactly. You saw them. Yep. Because most of these seeds come from enormous batches. And so there'd be hundreds or thousands of packages of seeds that would come from one batch. And the likelihood.
Well, they have to test a lot. They have to lot test everything to make sure that it's going to germinate.
And the likelihood of
every
a
single
package
seed,
not working is not great. But the likelihood of a snail or slug or sow bug coming by and mowing it before you even see it is quite great.
Yeah.
Or rabbits, as the case may be.
Yeah.
On that riveting note, I don't know. They're cute, they're furry, and they have cute little tails. And so.
And they're lucky.
They're lucky rabbits.
Not the one that you're carrying the foot on, no.
You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KPRZ and KCBQ. We'll be back next Saturday morning at 6 o'clock with another hour. Hope to see you then. Have a great weekend, everybody. Oh, and turn your sprinklers off.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.